This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Spiegel and Holmes. I might swerve in that corner.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay.
See, we're in full service, 670 The Score station.
Afternoons on The Score.
Hell is hot. That's never been disputed by anybody. You didn't go to hell. You went to purgatory, my friend.
I forgot all about purgatory.
Purgatory. A little detour on the way to paradise.
Purgatory is terrible.
I picture Chris Tannehill thinking about what cut would fit the conversation that we're going to have. And just rolling through all the Sopranos clips on his phone. He had to delete a lot of pictures of his family just because there wasn't enough space.
Are you kidding? He's got like 2 terabytes. He's good. He's got them all saved somewhere.
He's got a separate hard drive of Sopranos stuff that he travels around in the back pocket.
Yeah, just there it is. Yeah. Here's some more Silvio.
That's beautifully put.
Spiegel and Holmes here on Middays just for today.
Layla, the Lord would take me now.
Well, not yet.
Layla and Marshall will be holding down the afternoon show while we go to Circa Las Vegas.
Yeah!
I really do think that you guys should just go to the blue line from the Bedway.
You do? Okay, noted.
I know that's going to be ignored, but I have strong feelings that that would be the easiest way for you guys to get to your flight on time.
Thanks so much for your input. Thanks for your call.
And then, of course, Speak's going to be like, well, we're going to just Uber. We'll just Uber. And then I'm going to get a text from you guys at like 3:30, like, we're still not there yet.
But I think Speaks was saying, let's Uber to the blue line.
You don't know what I'm saying. To make it just a
little bit quicker.
You don't know what I'm saying. I know. Sorry about that.
Look, I'll just put this out there. Speaks just doesn't want to ride the train with people. He's above that. He's too big for that. He doesn't want to be seen on the train. That's what it is.
He's Mr. Matt now.
Makes sense.
Mr. Matt.
Dogs, could they be on there?
Do you have the velvet ropes? Do you have the velvet ropes? Yes. You can set those
up in front of my corner spot. Yeah. Do you know who that is? That's Matt Spiegel.
Pay no attention to that man.
Is that the baseball president?
Is that the appreciator?
Oh, that's a deep cut right there.
Is that the singer of Sonic 48?
No,
is that Abner Triple
Day? Don't forget Joe Pills!
Abner Triple Day, that's my favorite one. Gonzo called me that. Oh, I love that.
Do you have cash for the ride up on the blue line?
You don't need cash for the blue line.
For the game?
You do when they try to sell you candy. You're gonna need
I feel
cash
really good about the Shell game today, Speaks. I gotta tell you. I'm feeling real lucky. Let's get it started.
We have it locked in. Like, we know where the ball's
gonna be. You guys have a system, right? Yeah. You got a system.
Look, yeah, we do. Yeah.
Look, if you're going to Vegas, why not get started? started with a little find the queen, if you know what I mean.
I'd rather do that than do like the slots at the airport. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. I know. Nobody ever hits a Lou Gehrig at the airport, but I always try. I always try.
The
on my
system
way
for
town.
The shell game is mug the guy who's doing the shell game and take his cash.
Oh. I mean, you guys could, you know, form a little gang if you wanted. There's three of you.
A tough looking gang, don't you think?
I don't want them.
You don't want them?
I don't want them in my game.
Whoa. Okay. Like,
wow. They're too nice.
Yeah, you and Kaylin are way too nice. Let's be honest. You and Kaylin are going to be your own gang. You're bringing your girlfriend.
Yeah, she's mean.
It's me and Tanny. Hey, Tanny, he's had the same girlfriend like all 4 years.
Yeah, you would never know by looking at him.
Pretty much the whole time.
Pretty much the whole time.
No, she's so pumped. But no, I'd take her over. I mean, you guys are nicer than her.
Oh, we are. Oh,
I feel like you should back off right now.
No, she doesn't listen.
Turn off the mic.
No.
Time to turn
She's got friends in the industry.
Right, I'll do.
She does. She knows people at the FCC.
Yeah. So, you
get
know,
this one
maybe,
before it gets scrubbed.
Yeah, we don't want anything bad to happen to you. Just let it all play out there in Vegas. We are hanging out for just one day here in this slot, and then we'll go back to our place over at 2 to 6.
All right. So I talk about roster building. I build a house. Based on a foundation of deep thought on what could be possible, and now you're here to just blow it all down.
I'm not. I just want to give you a little bit more perspective.
Okay.
So I talked with Tim McMahon, who covers basketball for ESPN.
Really
he wrote a great book about Luka Doncic, which he then had to go back and add an extra chapter to, Spiegs, after the trade. They had already printed like 8,000 copies of the book, but he had to go back and do an addendum because the trade changes the story.
Hmm.
I asked him after we were done talking, and it's up on House of L, people want to see all of that, but I asked him specifically for our show about the Bulls and for him to give me his perspective on where it is the Bulls are.
Purgatory. You know, I mean, the Bulls are where the Mavs were a couple years before they got Luka. And it's not a perfect comparison because that was Dirk's twilight. Obviously, there's not this living legend on the Bulls roster, but they are a team that is stuck in the middle. They are in NBA purgatory. They're not bad enough to really, you know, I mean, maybe they get extraordinarily lucky in the lottery, but the odds are they're not bad enough to really benefit greatly from it by getting that early lottery pick, by having a realistic, you know, ticket in the Cooper Flag Derby, this summer. But there's not like a path to them building a contender right now. And so, you know, the Mavericks, after a few years in purgatory, they bottomed out. They blatantly tanked. The lottery didn't play out in their way. They still had to trade up. They still had to get lucky that three teams passed on Luka, but that's what led them to Luka. Unless you have that all-NBA type of talent, there's just not a realistic path to contending in the NBA. And the Bulls have, you know, they've got some nice pieces, but I don't see anybody on that roster as that kind of a guy. And, you know, like I'm in Houston. I'm sitting in Houston right now. The Rockets are in a little bit different situation where they've got a lot of young guys who they hope maybe can be that. And then they've got a bunch of ammo for, if they decide to go the trade route. But that was after 3 years of a full-blown rebuild, you know, in the wake of James Harden forcing a trade. It's really hard to go from mediocre to great in the NBA without taking a dip to the bottom first.
I get it. That is wise. It is the common wisdom. It is certainly what we have talked about in terms of what the Bulls have chosen not to do. But they've chosen not to do it. They've chosen not to do it, and it has been awkward, but here we are. So what do you do as a coach, and what do you do as a team full of players who are not tanking because they're all playing for the next contract when the organization is not forcing your hand to do that? What do? You try to find an identity and try to become the best whatever you can possibly be. And that's what the team has decided they have to do, and they're doing a decent job of it.
I'm happy that players aren't quitting, that Coby White continues to grow and develop. I have such respect for Billy Donovan as a basketball mind, as someone who thinks the game. It's the next level up that I struggle with. I don't want guys, I hate tanking, and I understand that it happens. And I definitely don't want guys who are on the floor to tank. And unfortunately, the Bulls are – part of the reason that I'm scoreboard watching these days, Speaks, is that the Bulls can't be bad enough in this league. Their roster's too good for the other teams. Washington has 15 wins.
Yeah.
You know, Charlotte is terrible. The Sixers, after Embiid got hurt, they just said screw it and threw the worst lineups out there.
The thing is, if you were going to do this, then you shouldn't have Billy as your coach.
Correct.
Because Billy is a guy who really wants to try and build something, and now you've let him because they've chosen the middle. They've chosen the middle, and that, frankly, that's what they chose when they signed Lonzo and DeMar and Vooch to go with Zach. They chose a higher-end version of the middle.
That's high. Like, that's trying to, that roster, to me, felt like a team that wanted to host in the first round. That feels like a top four seed type thing with, hey, you never know how the basketball bounces.
Right. And were you okay with that choice?
Yeah. I thought that
because I was. I admit that I was.
I thought that that had potential to be something more. But now I'm just like, okay, I guess I'm in on this play-in thing, and I would like for them to be the eighth seed. They're 2.5 games behind Orlando as it stands for that with 10 to go. So it's unlikely that they'll end up in the eighth seed, but not impossible.
I think Tim is right in terms of the easiest way to do it. There have been occasionally teams that can build something and have an identity and have a culture and then get lucky. And that's clearly what they're trying to do. But being real bad for a long time and hoping the ping pong balls work and hoping you get there is something they chose not to do. And on some level, I understand because it's so freaking frustrating and empty as long as it can go.
This is frustrating, even with there are pockets of joy.
Yeah.
This is frustrating too, but here's something that did make me feel good.
Okay.
Latest mock draft by SI. Bulls, Derek Queen.
Did they really? So he's at what number?
At 9.
Derek Queen from Maryland, who hit the buzzer beater game winner the other day. Lawrence's guy.
I like me some Derek Queen.
A big with skills. Could he run with these guys?
He's going to have to learn because they're definitely running.
They're running.
They like pace. That's what they want to do. All right. When we come back, there's some baseball that we need to get to.
Yeah.
There's some red meat out there for Cubs fans, and Spiegs is going to walk you through some of it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that next here on The Score.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Or Spiegel and Holmes.
Who would dare interrupt me during my midday fast?
Yeah.
Oh, the Spiegel and Holmes show.
Afternoons on The Score.
Well, I think anytime it's very difficult to acquire players of this caliber. They're not available often. So I think, you know, getting a chance to bring him in, obviously we have him under control for 1 year. I don't know what the future holds, you know, but obviously Chicago sells itself really well. And so, I mean, like I said, I'm excited to bring him in, you know, for this year, and we'll see where it goes beyond that. But, you know, clearly this was the kind of player that we lacked. I think that, you know, as we think about, you know, our team and what could clearly make the team better, and there was a real goal to be a better team, you know, in 2025 than we were in 23 and 24. You know, going out and acquiring a player of this caliber made a lot of sense for 2025.
Jed Hoyer talking about bringing in Kyle Tucker and what it may have cost the Cubs to do that, but they have a guy who is a potential 6-WAR player and a lefty bat in the middle of their lineup that lengthens their lineup and causes trouble. If he plays to his potential, he's a top 15 player in the league. So when you have an opportunity like that in a window where ideally you're trying to win games, Matt Spiegel, it would make sense. There is a price to pay for that, though, if you're going to make a move.
And the price they paid was Isak Paredes, third baseman that they got for Christopher Morel. That's fine. Price to pay was Hayden Wesneski. Swing guy, seventh starter maybe on the Cubs depth chart.
King of the sweeper.
Going to be the fifth starter for the Astros. Okay. And then Cam Smith, the number one pick from last year.
Not the host on CHSN. That's Cameron Smith.
Every single time I think of it. Every time I see his name. But no. So Cam Smith, who has now made the Astros and is going to be their starting right fielder on opening day. Only 18 position players in MLB history have made it from draft to opening day roster in fewer than 100 games. Okay? Cam Smith is the third fastest ever to accomplish the feat. Behind Pete Incaviglia, zero games. Zero games. And John Olerud, six games for John Olerud. So those guys turned out pretty well.
He wore a helmet.
He did.
Yeah.
Ricky Henderson was like, I had a teammate who wore a helmet. Another guy who did that. And John Olerud said, yeah, that was me. That was me.
Don't the Angels have someone that they drafted and is starting
to? Yeah, pitcher. Yes.
Is it Ryan Day?
I forget. It's Ryan somebody, but these are position players. But anyway, Cam Smith is good. But I realize that the comparison is not straight up Kyle Tucker for a year.
Ryan Johnson.
Great filmmaker
yes.
as well.
Sorry. Continue.
Good work. You're good. I realize that the real comparison is not Kyle Tucker because, I mean, we're going to feel that and that's going to be visceral. And look, that would suck.
You think that's happening every day here on the score? Are we now watching box scores every day of Cam Smith and Kyle Tucker?
I think there's going to be a lot of people doing that, especially if they're both starting right fielders on opening day and you're going to measure their stats. And that is a nightmare scenario that Cam Smith has a better year than Kyle Tucker.
Would Cam Smith have broken with the Cubs?
That's the thing. Probably not, because it doesn't seem like Jed Hoyer believed in him. Because what's Cam Smith's natural position? Third base. Cam Smith is moving to right field, and he's a good enough athlete that they're letting him do it. They're putting Altuve in left,
and
they're putting Cam Smith in right. They're taking Cam Smith away from third base. Cubs obviously didn't think that Cam Smith was ready to break camp with them and be their opening day third baseman. They did think this about Matt Shaw. I find myself realizing that the comparison for Cam Smith that's going to linger in my mind, and I think should linger in Cubs' mind, is would the Astros have taken Matt Shaw instead of Cam Smith? And would you, the Cubs, have given Cam Smith a shot to make your opening day roster as your third baseman? Seems like Jed didn't believe in it because they needed somebody that they knew they could feel good about at third baseman. They tried for Bregman, but didn't get him, and then didn't try to do really anything else in terms of a starting third baseman. But now they're handing the job to Matt Shaw. So to me, that's the comparison that I'm going to be locked in on. Would the Astros have taken Matt Shaw as the final piece instead of Cam Smith? I would assume so. Then I wonder, would the Astros have taken Kevin Alcantara? Would you have wanted to do that? Would they have taken James Triantos? Would they have taken Owen Casey, who is a right fielder, and went down on the first roster cuts a month ago? I hope Owen Casey was offered, as I sit here scared about Cam Smith. So that's where I'm wanting to redirect the conversation, is Cam Smith versus another one of those young pieces the Astros might have taken instead if Cam Smith lights it up. And at the top of that list is Matt Shaw.
But, okay, but you know that's not how I appreciate that you doing this PSA.
Thank you very much.
It's important.
Thank you very much. PSA.
He's a really good center fielder, PSA, for the Cubs. Does a great job.
Good dude. I like the white hair, too.
Yes. Pete Sheep Armstrong.
It had to be an animal.
With an S.
Yeah, that's really nice.
That's what you had to do.
That's good work.
But I appreciate you doing that. You just know that's not how it's going to go. If Cam Smith, who said he could hit 60 home runs?
Mauricio Dubon. Noted home run predictor, Mauricio Dubon.
I think if he's a... Let's call it an 800 OPS. Like, let's be generous, but
sure,
not crazy.
Sure.
If he's an 800 OPS player, people are going to be pissed.
And you could also, absolutely. And you could also, as a texter points out, think about Cam Smith and Kyle Tucker versus Isak Paredes and, or sorry, Cam Smith and Isak Paredes versus Matt Shaw and Kyle Tucker.
I don't think you have to worry about Isak Paredes.
Well, we'll see. If he just pulls the ball in that ballpark.
Yeah, he is a pull machine.
And in that ballpark. One more PSA. White Sox, go out and get Alexander Canario. He's not going to make the Mets. He got DFA'd by the Cubs, and then the Mets picked him up. He's had like three homers and an OPS over one in the last 7-8 games.
I've always liked Canario. Why don't you want
Alexander Canario?
I don't want to win.
Nobody.
I have no interest in winning.
It's not about helping you win. It's
you want to win?
No.
I want Cooper Flagg.
It's a buy low player. He's not in this year's MLB draft, I don't think.
Would you rather give at-bats to Michael Taylor or Alexander Canario?
No, probably Michael Taylor.
That's wrong. That is wrong. That is ungood baseball thinking.
All right.
Give a young guy a shot. You think he's only 24, is Alexander Canario.
Cam Smith, 60 homers.
He is only 24.
Sosa, Mark McGwire, Roger Maris, Barry Bonds, Cam Smith.
My whole viewpoint is shaped on our two-minute conversation with Mully before he left about how we want to start the year on a positive note, and then we start actually talking about the team.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
Be happy about the White Sox.
I had that feeling this morning, Tanny, because I saw all the posts about the 108 guys and Sox Machine guys and their thing Sox at the Remova, and it was such a great event until you actually started talking about the prospects of the 2024 White, and the same thing's gonna happen.
Preseason's more fun.
It's a beautiful family reunion.
Yeah.
It's an awesome venue that they do this at, and then you're gonna be like, oh yeah.
I know we're late, but I was at Grandstand yesterday looking at new merch because why not? It's spring, hope, optimism. And then we just started talking about how they let go of Brandon Drury just because he had an injury. And all the little things that they had been doing.
He's the best hitter in the spring. It's Brandon Drury. By the way, we need to revisit at some point later me going fishing with Mike Mulligan and coming up empty. Gotta talk about that.
Yeah, you tried to make him a jukebox. Right. It's got to be natural.
Most do.
When we come back, let's talk about Caleb Williams. We had a conversation yesterday that you might have missed because maybe you don't listen to Spiegel at Holmes 2 to 6 every day, but we want to share it with you anyway. There's some interesting stuff in here and some stuff that Spiegs is picking up on that we need to dig deeper on. It's next here on The Score.